from outside, inside, via the nervous system, via the sensory system, and so on. And that is why the embryo starts with the nervous system. Otherwise, it would not be possible. When we would have maybe a heap of cells of liver or so here, and not nervous system, they indeed could grow unlimited. And this limitation you have as a balance to the growing. So, the nervous system itself is just has a function which is of course different to our function as adults. We use the nervous system for thinking generally, but the embryo doesn't think, but it is the same dynamic which is working. It is the same dynamic. And what is thinking? That is the formation. We make shapes. When one cannot make a shape in his thought, we say he cannot think. When you just spill out some ideas, then you see he cannot think. Thinking means that is the formative force. Concentration. That's it. And that's a matter of the nervous system. You see, here the same force as we use it for thinking is working here in the organic level to overcome the growing and to give the direction, to give the specialization, to give the differentiation. That goes via the nervous system and in the embryo. And that is why you have this strange shape in the embryo. That's a necessity. And you can follow how that goes ahead. Step by step you can follow that. Now, I was mentioning just the silica. Silica is the decisive substance. It is a collector of the cosmic forces. And now, it is amazing, and indeed, we can be happy that we have all these researches which has been done like silica. All this has not been known 60 years ago when Steiner spoke about it, of silica. Nobody spoke on silica, because it was just traces. Ah, we can forget. Calcium, oh yeah, sure, that's important, we need that. But silica, it is just the last 20 years that the people are interested in silica. And they know that the amount is not small parts of it, but they are very important. And so when you study this, all this is now known, which tissues are rich in silica and which ones are poor in silica. And that is fascinating when you see that even in the human body, which tissue is rich in silica? The richest are the hairs. Hairs and skin. That is just up. Of course, I have this book at home and it is differentiating, but by far the highest was the amnion. By far. But then the hairs, the nails, the skin are rich in silica. What does it mean? It's the environment. It is the environment of our body. So, what we find here in the embryo, the environment is rich in silica. That continues. Our environment is rich in silica. Why just the hairs? Of course, forget about the explanations. That is the elimination of the silica or so, what they say. Why is it rich? Why are the hairs? Why are the skin, the nails? The periphery is rich. The same. in a certain way, we continue with this formation of the embryo, with the same dynamic which we have the whole life, the environment. And what does it mean that the environment is rich in silica? The same as in the embryo. What does it? That is a collector of cosmic forces. What is just the environment, the periphery of the human shape? It's a collector of cosmic forces. Even as adults, even when we are 100 years old, we can still accept cosmic forces by our periphery. So that comes from outside, inside. You see, always the same dynamic. From outside it goes inside.
I just thought of something when you said that. Whenever there are major upheavals in society and major transformations in culture taking place, men become very interested in having long hair for a period of time.
That's the same. And when you study this, which people have long hair, which has short hair? When you have this as an idea, then it's very clear what that means.
Maybe that's why women aren't supposed to cut their hair.
How has it been? Today everything is a turmoil. But when you go back into the tradition, the people knew that better, of course. And that they knew, of course, what means long hair, what means short hairs. That was absolutely clear. And in former time, when you see that, it is, you can find it. I saw in Europe, I saw in America, I saw samples of that. That there always has been special people who were not allowed to cut the hair, who had the long hairs. And that was the people who were exposed to the cosmos, like the Pythia in Greece. The seers, they were long-haired. And what means long-haired? Look into the Bible, the best book of the physiology, Samson. What was he? He was full of forces. He had forces, not substance, forces he had. That's it. And how could they overcome him? By cutting his hair. There he lost the forces. Look, of course, whether it was indeed like that is not so important, but that is a real description of the fact that by the hairs, the forces enter this human being.
There's an interesting description in one of the workman lectures. A workman goes to Steiner and says, "My daughter wants to cut her hair," and he was at the time very much against it. And then Steiner said, "Well, what happens when the hair is cut? One becomes a little prickly. It's a kind of a sucking in of the silica through the hair that's been cut, and maybe she wants to be a little prickly. Maybe she's looking for a husband who's also, you know, a little prickly. But then the hair is cut, and then one has a prickliness." And that, of course, one also experiences very often. Cutting the hair, it makes one feel just a little peppery. Mm-hmm. And I should suppose that when the suffragettes cut their hair, that...
You can say it in this way. You can say the same in another way. What happens when you... What type of forces are these? Cosmic forces. And when you cut them away, you cut away the cosmic forces, but then you are more earthy. And that is, in other words, that what you described. That when you lose the one, you can get the other. And it was very interesting to make an observation in Germany where I had the occasion to go to live just in the southern part, and there was some villages, they were Catholic, and other villages, they were Protestantians. And you could see immediately when you came from the one to the other village. Today it's not more like that, but in former time it was like that. The Catholic women had long hairs, and the Protestants, they had short hairs. And all this, that was on the Catholic side, they were full of tradition, and it was just as it has been always like that. And the more modern life was on the other. That is just, it is not why they cut the hairs, but that gave this feeling. It gives another feeling, and ask people who can do that, that gives another feeling whether you have long hairs or short hairs.
Two questions. I'll make it one. It seems to me that there are two gestures going on around the plate. On the one hand, you have this yolk which really takes light and brings it into matter. And on the other hand, you have the amnion which transmits light into the embryo. So there's just two different approaches of light. But then in the same way, when you start to form the neural tube, what you have then is you have the being can enter inside and direct from inside, which is a little different than either of those two things. And so it's a new direction entirely to development. It controls it from inside. Could you expand on that? Or
yeah.
Is there anything?
Yeah. We are just on the one side. You see, when I passed, because I was just exposed too much to the silica, I passed from this, what I you see here. It's so fascinating, the thing with the silica. But there, between this and this, there is another step, of course, or many steps. And that is what you see. You remember there was the embryonal disc, and I said that is the one was the ectoderm, the other the endoderm. And now you see that what happens when this is ready, that after that you see this invagination, and that makes the neural tube. The neural tube. Here you see the gastrulation, and you have it. But that is not the first, like in the animal. That is one step which is necessary, of course. And from the endoderm, you have this invagination too, and then you have just all the intestine which is made. That is an invagination too. And so you have a lot of these invaginations in the time. But that comes later. Of course, you see, that's a matter of astrality. We have an astral body, no doubt about it. But that is not the dominating. It is a part, is an instrument. That is what you can see. And so you see, of course, this invagination makes that we have just these forces, where these formative forces are working through. They are now interiorated. They are working inside. And that is a condition that we can think. Otherwise, we would think outside. No, we can think inside. And therefore, we need this interiorization. And that means this invagination that happens in the nervous system, even if this is an expression of the silica forces.
The animal, the whole being of the animal, accepts that astrality that's more directed in the human.
In the animal, it is just the end and the decisive forces, the highest forces which are working in the animal. And then it is finished. But in man, it is just the primary is this formation, and then comes the invagination as something what we need. We need the astrality, of course. We need a nervous system, and so, as in interiorization. Now, that was one question that you said, two questions.
I was just going to ask about the unfortunate state of men who shave.
Yeah. Or do not shave.
I'll get bald.
Or get bald.
Let's take the MBA off. This is a reflector of God. That's right, they bounce right back and don't go in.
Yeah. We are sitting in the same boat, yeah. Yeah, indeed. That has an importance, no doubt about it. But before I try to explain this, I will show you what it is and what importance it has in the embryo. That is a collector, or it is penetrating the cosmic forces into the substance. And when you see an embryo in a later time, you see an amazing fact that the whole embryo is covered with hairs. The whole embryo. I can show you some of these here. When you see that here, that is just the skull and the ear. The ear is covered with hairs. Can you see that? The ear is covered with hairs. And when you see the face, you will say maybe the face is not hair. Look here. The face, it's covered with hairs. That is how old? Four and a half months. 4.5 months. The whole embryo is covered with hairs. And you can see one of them just here, maybe the nose, but it may be a matter of the technique. You see, even here, they have, it is not a beard, but they are covered with hairs. And so, or here, but it's full of this, all of this, in 4, 5 months, even 7 months, the whole embryo is covered with hairs. What does that mean? Of course, the modern explanation is, that is just the ape. Here you see the ape. We will come to this problem later, whether it's an expression of an ape or not, because that is just the matter of the explanation of understanding. The fact is given. The embryo is covered with hairs. Finished. That's a fact. Fact you have to accept. You have not to accept the explanation. And the fact is that we have said, what does it mean after all what we were discussing? What does it mean? Which is the richest organ we have? The hairs. You see, why are they so rich? Because they are like antennas to accept the forces. And here you can see the embryo needs it much more than the adult. He needs it. He needs the hairs as antennas for cosmic forces. And when you see them, they are not just anyhow. No. When you see the direction of the hairs, how wonderful. Nobody did comp this embryo. And they are going in one direction. See here. This whirlpool. Can you see that? And what is a whirlpool? Whenever you have a whirlpool, what happens? It goes inside, and now it goes down. And exactly that happens. That's on the head. Here, both of them are on the head. And you can see it in the newborn. You can see it in the adults. You have a center of the hairs and different parts of the body. You have one center exactly here. Here is one center. and the other center is here between the shoulders, and sometimes another center here.
Sometimes if you see a hair whorl is way off either on top or at the sacral area, you should look for a spinal cord defect. It's very common.
Wow. Where do you have the spinal cord defect? Here. Just there where you have generally the pull. And what does it mean? Why is this defect? Because this whirlpool one didn't go deep enough. You can see how the hairs are in a certain direction. They are going in this way. It is indeed a whirlpool.
There's often the pile lines of dental in this area still as a remnant.
Yeah, yeah. You see three parts. The one here, the other here, and the last here. And of course, the most intensive is this here, on the head. The second, and that is why you have where you have the metabolic situation. There is more a certain disbalance of the formative forces are not so strong, and that is why when you have a malformation, you have in the lower part here, where the forces cannot penetrate right in this substance. But here is more physiological. Of course, you can have it anywhere. But mostly you have it here, and you can see how that works and how the forces are working inside and coming to an end and how they enter. And they are accepted that. And even you can see how stupid it is to say that is the same as they have the apes. Because what you see, the type of this hair, is absolutely different from the types we have now as adults here. Absolutely different. All this is known. And we have a special name for these hairs, lanugo, the lanugo hairs. And when you see the lanugo hairs, their quality is absolutely different to the other hairs. Absolutely different. And that is a matter not only to say there are hairs or not, the quality of the hairs. And that is, just by the way, because we touched this problem, it is fascinating when you study that. And that the people do not think about it. Not at all. They say, who makes the hair? Of course, the root of the hair. It comes out of the skin, and you say root.
Yeah.
There must be a root, and so it goes. Ha ha. Fine. But you see, they are short, these hairs. They are not long. And when you see the hairs here, which we have here, they are short too. The hairs here. Why are they not growing like the other hairs? I do not go to the barber shop for these hairs here. They do not get longer than this. But the problem is, thank you for this advice. Absolutely. Was absolutely new for me. Yeah. But the question is, where does this root know? Now I have to stop it. Aha, that's the question.
Well, the head is more connected with the cosmic forces. That's why, you know, the hair, the cosmic forces kind of draw the hair out of the head more than they do.
That's right.
Out of the
They're only the hairs of the, and even is a question, we cut them. But ask women who do not cut them. Today you can find a lot of them. They are long like that, and then they stop growing. I never saw somebody that the hairs go until to the earth. Did you?
I saw once a woman who must have been in her 90s, and it was as if I had an apparition. Her hair was long and white, and it trailed behind her.
as she was gathering flowers, I couldn't believe my eyes.
Which she's not that.
It is.
There are people whose hair goes down to the floor still.
Yeah.
But it's rare.
But anyway, I will not deny that it may be. But it would be interesting to see how it was the mental condition of this woman. But it is another experience. The more you cut the hairs, the more they grow. And when we would, the people who shave, when you would measure, all this has been done. It was a friend of mine who made his dissertation on this topic, so I know it. And he was, it's a hard work to measure every time what they cut. It is amazing how long the beard would be when you put that all this together. It would be extremely long. So the question is, how does the root know that the hair, how long the hair has to grow? Or when you see just here on the head, we have more or less hairs all over the body, and they are not very long. How do they know that? Or the genital hairs, they stop growing after a certain length. Where does the pardon?
Unfortunately,
not in every case.
I never would have expected that Emberly makes such a fun here. But on the other hand, it is indeed interesting to see that, and when you study that in former times the people felt this, as in the story with Samson. Or when you see just in the medieval time, there was, you see the painters. When they did paint just, let us say, the crucifixion, and there were the people who did that. I observed that. Just to see that this patient is a very, very bad one, or in other words, has no feeling for the cosmos, then all the person, these persons were painted bald-headed. And I was always asking, why are they bald-headed? Not the kings. Not the priests. They always were long-headed. Look at them.
But the monks?
No, I am just saying, wait a second. But why are they bald-headed? Now, that's clear. They sometimes have a beard, but they have no hairs on the head. What does it mean? They have no feeling for the spirit, for the spiritual world. That comes in this part. But they have very expressed feeling for the other side, for the earth. And the earth has forces too. And these forces come via the birth. And that is just, when you study this, you can see. It is when you have a bird which is just going round, that means that the same as if you has uncombed. And that is a word, I say, wild hairs means this person cannot think. And that when you see in the Greek time, what did they see? When you see Athene always had the hairs combined, or she had a helmet that they were dominated, and never they would have the hairs swinging round, because that was an expression that is, maybe she has a connection but she cannot dominate it. And this artistic feeling, even so, when, or even today on a stage, you can see when a woman comes with very wild hairs, what an expression, that's a wild woman. That's it. And on the other hand, they saw, see the sculptures of the Egyptian time. The Pharaoh, what had the Pharaoh? The beard, but not just wild. No, it was, wie sagt man, geflochten.
Braided.
It was, you see, what does it mean? He could dominate the earthly forces. He was not exposed to the earthly forces. He dominated. That was, and of course it was, that's, today we can give such an explanation. But in the Egyptian time, when the people saw that, immediately they knew what it is. That is a man, he dominates the earth. And that is why men have a bird, not the women, generally. That is an expression, he is exposed more to the forces of the earth, not to the earth itself, to the forces of the earth.
What about curly hair and straight hair?
Ah, that's another thing.
Getting distracted here.
That again, that is it, that's a matter of the races. But let me finish this problem. You see, when just in the Egyptian time, what did they say when they saw the picture of the Pharaoh? He has this bird that he dominates the force. He goes into the earth. He can handle the forces of the earth. And what did he have on the forehead? A snake. And the snake was not just coming out or so. No. It was, the snake was erected. The snake was upright, the Uraeus snake. And the people felt he can dominate this. And the snake is just, it was a picture of the type of thinking. He could dominate this. He can think. What in this time was extraordinary. They could not think in this time, the people. But when they had this as a picture, as an imagination, they saw he can think. And he can bring, in other words, he can bring the cosmic forces into the earth. That was the Pharaoh. Immediately. And that was an expression how he was handling all this. Now, and coming to an end, the hairs full of silica are just collectors of forces, and it depends of what type of forces. The cosmic forces in the head for cosmic thinking. Or why do we have the hairs in the genital region? Why some people have it, they are covered all over the shoulders and so, but why everybody has it and the adults, not the children? Why the adults, not the children? What does it mean? Cosmic forces are coming in this region. And indeed, that is exposed to cosmic forces. Why is the child growing in the uterus, in the lower part? Because there are cosmic forces coming in, but they are different, the forces. They are absolutely different. You say, why we have it here underneath the arms? Two. Pardon? Now, that's the same. Where you see, that is in a certain way that is correlated to the sexual region. We know that there are the sweat glands and all this. That is, and when you see in the mythology how Zeus, he created from the head and he created from the from underneath the arm and sometimes even from the Zeus.
Zeus.
It's horrible. Yeah. When one studies Greek, then it's horrible. Yeah. Now, you see, that they felt in the former time. There are reproductive forces. Of course, He did not create a, who was it, what he created from the head?
Athena.
Athena. She came from that. That, of course, it's imagination. But indeed, we are productive in our head. We can create thought. We can have an activity in our head. And that is indeed, that is true. We can do that. Now, that is how it works with the hairs, and what is the importance of the hairs. You ask whether the hairs are curled or they are straight or curled. That is different, and that is a matter of the races. I cannot say whether it is indeed of very important. You see, the Negroes have just these curled hairs, and why are the genital hairs curled? It study that. I only can say you the results as I tried to elaborate it to this point. But that is the eldest thing of what they start before they had the differentiation in the races. Just why the Chinese, the Japanese, they never have curled hairs. The Negroes always have curled hairs, and the Europeans very often have. Yeah, wie sagt man diese? Waving hairs. That is, of course, that are, there are two extreme types, the straight and the curled, and between the waves. That is, how that is influencing the type of thinking, study it. I only can say that just in Negroes, the type of thinking is different in them. That does not mean that the one cannot think like the other, but as a base, it's different. And even now, whether you are shaving or you have a beard or you are scold, that is another problem. That does not mean that it is today like that. You can try to overcome this, or you have it, or even you do that what they did, like there was a question, what is with the monks? Why did they have this tonsure? Why do they have this? Because they just were on the way to go on earth. And that is what is why just in the religious, all the religious systems, it depends whether you cover your head or you do not cover it. Look, the Jews, when they go into the temple, they only can enter when they cover the head. And in the Catholic Church, when the priest comes and enters the church, he has the head covered. But when he starts the sacrament, then he uncovers it. And when he has finished it, he covers again. You see, in this moment where he is exposed to the cosmic forces, he should be open, then he should not cover the head. But when he speaks, or when he speaks by himself, then he covers the head. Then he says, now I am speaking as a person, and not as an expression of the divine world, which he should be. That is all this what is in the religious system. Today it's only tradition, the people don't understand it anymore. But it is very, very deep knowledge, very deep wisdom which is living in all this. I think it is just the time to make a break. It's a matter of explanation, what it is, to understanding. But it is anyway, it is amazing what happens and what one can see today. And we have the possibilities to see it, and we don't understand it. That's the problem. Yeah. Now, you see, we start our life from the cosmos coming down, and this life, you can see it is different, you can see it in two parts. You have the life, the etheric life, And when you see this etheric life is combined with the liquid, with the water, and when you see that, you have this amazing fact which I wanted to show you here. This is the age of the embryo in lunar months. You know that in, I think even here, the obstetric, they count in lunar months. Yeah, you say lunar months. And that is the lunar months. And that is the percentage of water. And you see, very early, earlier dates are not available. You see, 95% water, that's more or less water. And how that goes down, step by step, every month it goes down. Finally, you have the adult has, and around the birth, we have 75% water. And when you see how big is the difference, even in a newborn and an adult, when you see a newborn, it's so soft and full of water, everything, when you see the hands, full of water. Anyway, in the adult, these are only 10%, 75 to 65. And a very aged person, 70 years, has 60% water. So we are drying out. That's what you can see. And when you make an extrapolation from this, even 2.6 months, that is already late. When you go back, and it has not been done because it's difficult to do that, you see the very first cells, they may have a water of maybe 98%. Or when you see that, what is the very first cell that is in impure water? That's all. It's more or less water, not just pure water. It's some traces of some other things in. But it is water. So we start our life from the water. And it is full of water and it goes down. And this organized water, and you remember what we saw? That the silica was on the beginning and it goes down. In the end of the, you have this, it is correlated about to the water. The more you have the water, the more you have the silica. Or this is a organized water by the silica. And you know this may be when you have sodium silicate. by this, you can organize the water. And you need very small amounts. And then you can make it to a jelly, the water. So that is very effective, the silica, in the working of the water. Now, that is the one. On the other hand, you have the earth, of course, is the bearer of the life. And you find an amazing fact which touched the problem which you had as a question, I think, yesterday. What is with men and women and so? On the one side, you see the earth and you saw what we tried out. It is a very, very thin layer where you only have the life on earth. Anyway, as long as we are speaking of the life, we must see that is on the surface. And you find the amazing fact that 2/3 of the surface of the earth is water. 2/3 of the surface of the water of the earth is water. So the biggest part in this respect to the earth is water, is life. Or in other words, the earth is a living organism. And this you can see anywhere where you study this. What you have, the combination of water and wind and warmth and light, all this is an expression that there is life on the earth or in the earth. That is the one thing. And the other thing is that, of course, the biggest part of the earth is dead. And these are the minerals. The minerals, they don't have any life in themselves. So you have death too. And now when we are on the way to be incarnated, to go to the earth,